I'm going to pray that you have ears to hear today. I'm pretty excited about this one. You know, the Bible says we don't live by bread alone, but every word. This is my life. These words like here, this one will carry me 3-4 weeks at least. Lord, thank you for this day. I'm so excited about this, Lord. I'm so excited about what you're doing. Lord, open the eyes of our understanding that we may see, that we may understand what you have already given us and the hope of glory within. Lord, open our spiritual senses today. Oh, Holy Spirit, be with us in a brand new way. Let us see that all convolution be removed, and let us see what you're saying to us in this hour. Amen. In John 7, verse 37, it says this, in the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out from his innermost being will flow rivers. Where are they going to come out of? Within you. Rivers of living water. You're going to get an idea of the power of these waters. So remember that verse as I'm talking to you today. Amen. We're going to look at the life of Isaac today in the face of God. We're going to look at Isaac, we're looking at Abraham, we're going to look at what was going on. Listen, you need to understand what was going on with Isaac and Abraham. It wasn't just Isaac and Abraham at work, it was the Father and the Son at work. Our Heavenly Father was working, and the Son was working. Because remember, they were yet in the loins. You know who else was in the loins of Abraham? Jesus. In fact, Abraham in Galatians said the promises were of seeds as of many, but seeds as one, and that seed was Christ. All of these promises that God was working, it was all working towards one who would inherit all. Amen? Genesis 26, verse 1, there was a famine in the land. How many of you know that God is not intimidated by famines? God can raise you up in a time of famine. In fact, there was a lot of people, even in this last COVID thing, there's a lot of people who had the blessing of God come upon them. Because God is not intimidated by famine. In fact, sometimes God does his greatest work when famine's in the land. In this case, God did an extreme work with Isaac. And so he said, besides the first famine in the days of Abraham, the first thing we need to see before this happens is, verse 2, the Lord appeared to Isaac. These guys had multiple first-hand encounters with the Lord in a pre-incarnate state. He appeared to them, and when he did, he appeared to them in the face of God. How many understand the face of God? When God appears to you, he's not just representing now. He is representing those things that were, those things that are, and those things that are to come. And when you have in a face-to-face encounter, like we've looked at it with Abraham, we've looked at it with Jacob, we've looked at it with Joshua, we saw it with Isaiah, we saw it with Peter, James, and John on the Mount of Transfiguration. Now we're going to look at it with Isaac. Because every one of them had face-to-face encounters. And when God appeared to them, things happened that were beyond their day. And God was going to do something that was even beyond Abraham's day and beyond Isaac's day. As we're going to see. Amen? So when you understand the appearance of God, a lot of times they'll say, shall, I'm going to do this, I will do this, because that's how King James actually interpreted the event. But if you go to the original, or literal version, when God began to speak to me about the face of God, he goes, you're not going to find the understanding of the face of God unless you go to the very literal text. Nobody likes to record in literal because it's literal and it says things that's beyond the mind. So if you look at the literal version upon your notes, this is how it actually reads. I'm not going to do this. I shall do this. I've done this. Notice the words when the Lord speaks to him, what he said. He did this with Abraham. I made thee. Romans got it right. When the Lord appeared to Abraham, he said, I made thee a father of many nations. Not going to make you, I made you. In fact, the Bible says Abraham rejoiced to see my day and he saw it. He saw it the day he encountered the face of God. God took him all the way into his future. He saw Christ and he spoke to him the whole time. Now, we've been through that a lot, but I'm going to show it to you in Isaac's day because he's about to do something. God's about to do something. Amen? So this is what it says in the Young's literal. This is how he says it literally. Sojourn or journey in this land, and I am with thee. And bless thee, for to thee and to thy seed I give thee these lands. I have established the oath which I have sworn to Abraham thy father. God, because he could promise by no greater, he swore to Abraham that he was going to multiply a seed. He swore to him through an oath and a covenant he would give him a land. The land of Israel. You'll understand how God paid for this land today. You'll understand why it's his and how he did it. It's remarkable. God just doesn't say the land I give to you. God has to work legally. He has to legally work in the spirit. He has to legally work in the earth. He's going to legally work in the earth today. And he's going to legally work with you and I in the earth to bring the crown of glory down. In verse 4, in the King James, it says, I will. It's almost like, I'm going to do this. As long as you're in the position that I'm going to do this, it's not yet done. In the face of God, he doesn't speak, I'm going to do this. He speaks as it's finished, because what he's actually doing is he's moved Isaac out from where he is beyond. And he's moved him into a place that's called done or finished. This is our inheritance with God. We get to move out into the finished realm. So what's he say? He said, I have multiplied thy seed and the stars of the heaven. Watch this. I have given. This is literal version. All the literals say the same thing. I have given to thy seed all these lands. The second he encountered the face of God, legally, it was done that day. Now Isaac has to go walk out what was already finished the same way Joshua. When Joshua was going to take the battle of Jericho, the Lord didn't say, I'm going to give you and go the seventh day and you walk around. He took him into the seventh day and he played the events of the seventh day. He spoke from a finished position. He says, now go back and do what you just saw. Say it like this. Jesus said, I can only do what I see the Father doing. The Father worketh hitherto. Now it's my time to work. See, in the kingdom, you play out. You win the battle, and then you go walk it out. In the kingdom, it's already won before you ever begin. That's why I said to rejoice. The kingdom of God is yours. In the kingdom, say, in the kingdom, I already won. If I can get positioned properly, I've already won. I've won every single battle. So what happens? The Lord took him beyond every single struggle he's about to have. And Isaac was going to have some serious struggles. But he took him beyond. Watch this. He says, I've given you the land. To thy seed I have given. Who do you think he's talking to? And thy seed wasn't of many, but of one. The seed, that day, he took him all the way to Christ. You have to understand, he took Isaac out of where he was into a realm that was finished all the way down. He says, all the way to your seed, Christ, I've given this land. This is his land. He'll reign off this land for 1,000 years. So he finishes it. When God says it's done, why would he give me a word like that? You have been raised together. You have been made to sit together. You are complete in him. Of his fullness we have already received. He's given you a word. It's whether you believe. How about this? He that believeth on me, out from his innermost being will flow a river. Now, Isaac comes out of the encounter. He's already won the battle. The land's his. And he goes in, and suddenly, the Bible says he comes back in a time of famine. He goes, oh my God, it's famine. But Isaac does something nobody else does. He plants in the middle of the famine. Can you believe this guy? There's famine, the ground is cracked, and Isaac starts planting. Because Isaac saw something when he was encountering. Who did he encounter? The face of God. He just didn't encounter the God who was. Guess what else he encountered? He didn't just encounter the God who is to come, but he also encountered the God who was. He went back and saw what Abraham did. Wait a minute, there's a famine. Everyone's waiting for rain. You're looking in the wrong place. This water's going to come out from the earth, not come down. The church, follow me, follow me, follow me, follow me. I'm waiting. Here I am. I present myself full. God said, out from you it'll flow. It's already in you. There's a famine in the land. You have the answer already. So Isaac comes in. He comes out of that. I've been in the face of God. Abraham already dug wells here. There's water down in this ground. And nobody knows there's water down here. Everyone said there's water. Listen, you find water when nobody else finds water. You are the next billionaire. You understand? Everybody looks at the wells like, oh, they went to get a drink of water. The wells in that day was their life. That's what they washed with. That's what they cooked with. That's what they drank. That's what they fed their herds with. Without the wells, there'd be nothing. There's a great famine, and God said, just go into Gerar. And he saw in the face of God. He must have known. He saw it in the face of God. See, the wells had been covered up. Abraham already had dug these wells. They were flowing in Abraham's day. See, there are things that flow in a generation that get covered up that we got to go uncap. There are truths that get covered up that we got to go uncap. So Isaac comes in, he starts digging wells, and the Bible says he reaped 100-fold blessing because he found water when nobody else did. And notice what the word says about it. It's so powerful. Can you tell I'm excited today? Look at verse 13, and the man waxed great. I don't know what that means, but it sure sounds good to me. How many of you want to wax great? Wax me, God, come on. The man waxed great. And went forward. There's a key. Forward. He went forward and grew until he became very great. Battle number one. When God's blessing comes on you, not everyone's going to like you. Isaac was in training because God had a master well for him. He went on, and all of a sudden, the Bible said he became the envy of the Philistines. The Philistines, Abimelech, Phil Cole, Abimelech's soldier, his chief army captain, they were the same guys there with Abraham. A generation later, they're doing the same thing they did with Abraham. And all of a sudden, they get all jealous and envious, and Abimelech says, you gotta get out. You gotta go. Sorry. You become too great. You've got to leave. And they kicked him out of Gerar. He had to go and dwell in the valley of Gerar. You know what they really wanted? They wanted the water. You found water. We don't like it. We're going to steal your water. How many of you ever had someone steal? How many of you ever been blessed and all of a sudden, immediately, God sent you and the blessing of God, and all of a sudden you've got all these battles raging around you. Oh, I thought you blessed me. Yeah, I did, but the enemy's going to challenge that blessing. And he persecuted him and he drove him out. Envy and jealousy drove him out. At that point, most people said, oh, I quit. Forget about it. Listen, God has more than one well for you. If you get a well stopped up, go dig again. Dig again. So what did he do? He went to dig again. He went into the valley. Nobody digs in the valley. He went and dug and he found another well. After they kicked him out. Abimelech said, go from us. Look at verse 18. And the father's house dug again. Man, you might have gone through some things. Dig again. Man, we have dug wells after well after well, and the enemy kept coming. There's a day he's got to stop. There's a day God says, that's it. How many of you ever been through this one? And he says he dug another well as he had digged in the days of Abraham, his father. And the Philistines stopped him after the death of Abraham. And he called them by their name. You know what was happening? Abraham dug these wells, but the devil covered them over. And because they had no lineage or property, they just stole. The enemy steals, sometime unjustly. He stole our original inheritance from Adam. He stole the well and covered them over. Isaac uncapped him and started renaming them. Each battle he won, he renamed it. He said, you come after me, persecute. Look, God gave me another well. I got another well. And he called them out their names, and Isaac's servant digged in the valley, and they found a well of springing water. It broke up. Now the Philistines, oh my, we kicked him out. They're not happy with the water they just stole. They got to go get the other water too. Ooh, we want the one with the springing water. If you notice, the devil is never satisfied with what he steals. He wants anything God gives to you. Now I've got a wellspring, so he comes after that one. And God names it. That's it. Strife and contention. They said, the well is ours. The well's water in the herdsman of Gerard did strive with Isaac, say, the water's ours. It's not yours. God's working something greater. Isaac said, fine, give it to them. Strife, contention, jealousy. It's all there. The next one, he finds water again. This time he names it Sitna. Every time he's finding water, the enemy is stealing the water. This time is accusation. Think about this. God's blessing in the face of God comes on Isaac. God keeps giving him water and keeps blessing him. How many of you have been blessed and blessed? And you keep encountering so much adversity. Why? He's after something. But God's blessing is going to continue until all that stops. Because God's water, listen to me, is eternal. And if you have the source of eternal water, the blessings is not going to stop. Listen, you may have been blessed and you may have been stolen from. Let it go. Forgive them. Keep digging. Don't stop. Stay in faith. This was Isaac's quest because God was training him. Because he's about to be a real heir of something far greater than a well of water. But God's training him. God didn't give him his best well. He was giving him wells, capping them. He's learning how to find the water. Because God's about to give him something far greater than he ever had before. And he was already beyond wealthy. So he went to wealth. What was his next level of breakthrough? It happened in Rehoboth. And notice what it says there. And he digged another well. Look at your neighbor. Say, dig another one. So they stole the one at Sitna, and then it says, and he removed from thence and digged another well. He went to Rehoboth, and from that they strove no more, and he called it Rehoboth, for now the Lord has made room for me. I have a fruitful field, and the enemy could strive over it no more. Listen, there is a blessing coming upon us all where the enemy cannot touch us. He was removed from the enemy, and God made a fruitful field, and the enemy was silenced, and he couldn't challenge him anymore. You remember how the enemy came out the Lord and challenged him, challenged him, challenged him, but there was a day he has to let go and say, no more. You stole four wells, you can't have this one. It was his well. He was in a fruitful field. He was in a wide place. He found rest. Listen, you may be blessed right now. You may be going through some things right now. You may be going through contention or strife or accusation or jealousy. It's the enemy. He wants your water. Don't stop digging. Just because I found water, I was in this anointing, it broke out. You know how many times we've done that in this church? We broke out and said, this is it. We said that in 2005. And the glory broke out that we were in revival. And God said, oh, that's not your well. Not yet. you're in training. That was a training well. It was a beautiful well. Aren't you glad we didn't stop digging? Now we're finding a fruitful field. This is the time for them to increase now. This is the time to multiply. This is the time to rest. You can't have this water. There's a day the enemy's been rebuked over your life. He can't have your water no more. He can't have your family. He can't have your business. He can't have your generations. He's been rebuked by God. You know why Isaac kept digging? Because he had won this battle in the face of God before he ever started digging. But God had something greater. And actually, this is my message. That was my introduction. My real message is what I'm about to say right now. God was training Isaac for something far greater. And he had to overcome. Say, he that overcometh. God is looking for the overcomers. Because Isaac could have stopped in Rehoboth. I'm telling you right there. Who wouldn't stop there? You got a fruitful field. The enemy's been rebuked. He can't touch your stuff. You're blessed in the city, blessed in the field, blessed coming in. You sit at the king's table now. You have your own fields. The enemy, there is a shield around you. Like the devil came to God and said, listen, without that hedge around Job, I can't touch him. God's got a hedge around you now. You have a plan of good and not evil. He's given into you a desire and fruitful land. Everything's golden. Hallelujah. What else is there? God said, we're just beginning. Now you're ready for your true kingdom mandate. I have a city that's far greater than what you've been operating in. I have a place called Beersheba that's far greater. This one has eternal consequence, eternal ramification. God was doing something. And I'm going to have to back you up a little bit before Beersheba. I got to take you back to Abraham because it's the same thing that's going on. It's exact. You have Abimelech and Philcol. You have the king and his sergeant at arms, whether it's their dad, because there's like 75 years. I don't know if it's the same guys or their children, but they're named the same. But the exact same event, it's just amazing how it plays out. If you meditate this, both Abraham and Isaac both lied to the king. Said, that's my sister. They said their wives were so beautiful, they didn't want to say that's my wife because they'll kill me for her. You see how the blessing of Abraham comes on us? They both said it. None of them had any trust. Same thing happened to Abraham. Same Abimelech stealing wells. Abraham had dug a well. It was an awesome well. And Abimelech stole it. And so Abimelech saw the blessing on Abraham. So he's coming to him and said, hey, let's make a covenant together. I see the blessing on you. And Abraham goes, you're stealing from me. How can we come in covenant? You're a thief. He goes, I didn't know. Wasn't me. I don't know if he knew or not, but he was sure playing dumb that day. He said, I had no idea, but let's make the reparation. Now something's going to happen. Understand this. God, you remember in the face of God, you read up there? It said, I've come to fulfill my oath. God made promise to Abraham. He swore to him a land by covenant. That was a spiritual covenant. But God had to get into the earth legally too. So the way he did it was through Abraham, but he was going to have an earthly covenant as well. And God was not going to initiate it. The earth's kings were going to come and ask for it. But when they asked for it, God was going to oblige them because the blessing was on them so strong. He put such a powerful blessing that he bent the will of these kings and they came and said, we recognize God's with you. Your God's greater than our God. Let's make a covenant. And God said, yes, because as soon as we do that, we're going to get access to all your land. Okay, face of God again. He reconfirms in the face of God twice in one chapter. Isaac gets encountered again. He's just coming back in and says to reconfirm what he said to him. He says, listen, you got a new land. I'm reconfirming that I have blessed thee and I have multiplied you. He encounters him again just to reconfirm because he's in another city. He goes, what you're doing right now is eternal. Do you know Beersheba today is still standing? Do you know these wells they dig are still there? Genesis 21. This was Abraham, same land, same well in Beersheba. Now watch what happens. Verse 22. And it came to pass that Abimelech and Philcol, the chief captain of the host, spake to Abraham saying, God is with thee in all that you doest. They're flattering a little bit. Verse 25. And Abraham, he reproved Abimelech because of the well of water, which Abimelech's servants had violently taken away. How many of you ever suffered violence? And Abimelech said, I didn't know this thing was done. Well, I didn't know. And he said, but neither did they tell me. But I heard of this first thing today. Let's make it right. So Abimelech asked for a covenant with Abraham. All right. And Abraham took sheep and oxen and gave them to Abimelech, and both of them made a covenant. They resolved their differences. They had made the covenant. They took sheep. They took oxen. They made sacrifice. It was done. Now, they did the covenant. They made sacrifice. They came in a covenant together. It was done. But Abraham took seven lambs and set them aside. This was after the covenant. Abimelech, what are these? What are these lambs for? What are they doing here? I thought we already did our thing. Abraham says, now we got one more thing to do here. He goes, I want you to come in covenant and witness that this is my well. I want you, as the owner of these lands, to witness that I own this well. And I'm going to pay for it today through a sacrifice of seven lambs. Guess who that was? He didn't have a perfect lamb like Christ. So God's perfect number was seven. He took seven lambs because one lamb wouldn't do. He took seven, which is a perfected offering, and he purchases this well of Beersheba with the seven lambs. Guess what the name Beersheba means? Well of the oath. But it's a double word. Guess what else it means? Well of the seven. To this day, Arabs call the well of the sevens. They got purchased with seven lambs. He purchased the water. You know what he was doing? Abraham had nothing but promise up to this time. God had a covenant, but he was still a nomad. They would go and dig these wells, but the enemy would come and steal them. That's my well. That's my well. Same thing with Isaac. That's my well. That's my water. That's my inheritance. Wait a minute. I did it. No, that's mine. You know why? Because they thought they were the owners. So God legitimately had them come into a covenant. And he, that king, recognized Abraham for the first time ever in the very promised land that was promised, owned that well. By right of blood, purchased by the blood of the lamb, he purchased the promised land that day. That was his seed to own the promised land. That day, legally, at Beersheba, even the king recognized, it's your well. And let's call it Beersheba, the well of the oath. It was the father's sworn oath to the land. Abraham, I would give you the land. That's your land now. Guess what? The day he owned the well, he owned it all. That was the seed of ownership. That is your land. You are legitimate, verified owner. The oath has been fulfilled. It's the well of the seven. He had to have a covenant with man. But guess who was standing there with Abraham? It wasn't Abraham doing this. It was the father, because he gave him covenant right. All that's yours is mine. All that mine's yours. Let me step in, Abraham. I'm the father. I'm going to cut a covenant with man and the earth. And I'm going to purchase this land today with the blood of seven lambs, which is the perfected lamb to come to purchase. Christ purchased the land that day. Because we have Isaac. What do you think Isaac was being trained for? He was going back to the same city, Beersheba. God had to have him go back. Why? Because Isaac represented the son. Abraham represented the father. But the son had to inherit, because Isaac was the type of Christ. So he has to inherit the waters. Say the waters. He's got to inherit the waters. How is he going to give you the waters if he doesn't inherit the waters of what? The well of the seven spirits of God. Out of your belly will flow up. So Isaac goes through all this time and says, I made you fruitful, but I got something else for you to do. I got a kingdom mandate for you. Let's go back to Beersheba. Now watch what happens. He leaves the territory in King Abimelech. He has all that water he stole from him, but he goes, I'm sorry. He shows back up to Isaac and he said, you know, we've been friends for a long time. He says, why do you come to me? Isaac said, you hate me. He goes, no. We've never done you wrong. We love you. It was Abimelech and his chief officer. We've loved you the whole time. Because the blessing is left us. Because the enemy, once he takes over water, there's no blessing in it. The blessing only comes from God. He's got it. And they recognize, oh my God, the blessing is left. They're destitute. So they go out to Beersheba and says, let's make a covenant. So right before that, God appears to him and says, let's go one more time. I've multiplied thee. I've blessed thee with the land. But now I'm about to give you all the land. I got to give you the son the same well that the father purchased, because the well had been covered over. And so right before this covenant, Isaac sends his servants out to dig. Why is he doing this? Because he knows by the face of God there's water down there. And he knows he's about to inherit not a well, not Beersheba, but the entire promised land. And so he makes the covenant, long story short. They make the covenant. They come in agreement. See, he could have been bitter at him. No. He knew that he needed to make a covenant to gain access to this land. He goes, you think all this is yours? It's all mine. As soon as we come in the covenant, what's yours is mine. What's mine is yours. I don't mind giving you what I got because I'm going to take everything you got. And all we're going to do is get this one well to start it. And Isaac digs, and as soon as they get through with the covenant, the same day the covenant was pronounced, the servants come running. Oh my God, Isaac, we found the water. We found the well. We found the blessing of Beersheba. We found the well of the covenant, the oath, the seven. It's ours. We found water. That day, Isaac, representing the son, owned the promised land. It was purchased with a well. The Father purchased it. Christ inherited it that day. Now all the land belongs. That's why the Lord will be able to step his foot back on the promised land and say, this is my land. That's why he could drive the heathen off of it. When they came into it after he owned legitimate ownership, heathen came in, he could take the sword and drive them off of it. Because it was his land legally. He did it by covenant. Not just the covenant with heaven and man, but covenant with man. Covenant with a king. It was their land. It was their well. God was working it. Say, work it. But he was doing something far greater, and I'm closing now. Because what did he do in the face of God? He took him way past where they were. He was foreseeing a day. In the second thing, he says, oh, I've appeared to you again to say this. I have blessed thee, and I have exceedingly multiplied thee. And he took him all the way back to his seed, to the one who inherited all. Guess what he's sitting on? The well of the promised land. That well is now been set inside you. The well of the promised land, Christ, the inheritor heir, but it's been set inside you now. That's why he said, pray to understand the hope of his calling. Pray to understand Christ in you, the hope of glory, that you may know what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, that you may know what is the riches of the glory of the inheritance of Christ in the saints, that you may know what's already in you. Everyone's looking for it to rain. Everyone's come, God, every song that's ever sung. Here we are waiting on you. Come on, God, come rain on us. And God said, out of your belly, who that believeth on me, a river of inheritance will flow. The whole kingdom is in there. Your promised land is up inside of you. Your glory's in there. Christ in you, a water that was purchased for you. before you were ever born, a promised land. Out of our innermost being flows rivers of living water. You want a picture of that? Look at Ezekiel 47. Out of the face of the temple, the waters issued out to the world. Past the knees, past the ankles, past the loins. Everything that was dead began living again. The waters of Ezekiel, the whole world came under baptism out of the waters that were flowing. God is going to open the wells. Don't stop digging. God said, don't worry about what was lost. Don't worry about what happened back then. Don't worry about every time someone came in to stop. They can't stop what God's doing. You were just in training. I got something better. I got the well of the seven spirits of God up inside of you. I got the well of perfection. The perfection of Christ. The perfection of glory. The perfection of power. The perfection of life. It's up inside of us. And it's going to burst out of us in the last days. The Bible says it will. A fountain will burst forth from the house of the Lord in the last days. Say, a fountain. Arise. Shine. Thy light is come. The glory of the Lord is risen upon you. His glory is seen. Don't stop digging. There is a well that's going to blast out. It's a promised land well that's already been purchased by blood, purchased by covenant. It's already done. It's already inside you. That's why he said pray this way in Ephesians 1. Pray this way. Ask for the spirit of wisdom and revelation, that the eyes of your understanding may be flooded with light, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance that's inside the saints. You got to know what's in there. Well, I got a little bit of living water in there. I get a drink every once in a while. I got something in there. Just spring up a little well. Give me a little drink. You got a river. He that believeth on me, out of his belly will flow rivers. The Lord said, don't stop digging. I've got a well for the Father's house. I've been working it for a very long time. We may have been stopped out 1, 2, 3, 4 times. It don't matter how much water he's stolen. We've got eternity inside of us. And God's going to blast this thing up out of us. He's going to burst it forth out of us. Burst forth, let's all stand today. Hallelujah. Burst forth. Oh, living water, a wellspring of life, purchased by the seven lambs, the seven spirits of God, the well of the seven, bursting out with rapidly flowing fruitfulness. The oath has already been fulfilled. It has already been done. The glorious day is rising now. The glorious day. Bless this day. Bless. I will never, ever let go till this water flows like a mighty river.